And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. It's an honor to open up God's Word with you this morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, we're going to read verses 8 and 9. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. Thank you all for being here this morning. Isaiah 55 and verses 8 and 9. I ask it when you find your place, if you would please stand. Reverence the reading of the Word of God this morning. The Bible says this in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. May God bless the reading and the preaching of His Word this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. Thoughts, ways, goals, and plans. We all have them, don't we? And the beauty of it is we're all individuals. So we all have different ways, thoughts, plans, and goals for our life. And everyone that we bump into, they've got the same things going on. They've got ways and thoughts and plans and goals for their life as well. And some people that you bump into, they may not even mention them to you, but they expect you to know them and to figure them out. Let me use this analogy to drive home that point this morning. You husbands, you look up here at me because I'm sure you're going to be familiar with this. You teenage guys, you take really, really good notes, okay, and get this down. How many of y'all have ever played the game with your spouse, where do you want to go to eat? Anybody play it? Yeah, okay. Y'all raise your hand. Yeah, it's a great game, okay? Here's how it goes. In our car, okay? First of all, we got three kids. So for us to go out to eat, it's hustle and bustle, and we having to pray and get right with God before we ever go, okay? And so we got everybody in the car, and everything's good, and we have to make that decision. Where do you want to go? And so it starts with me. Sweetheart, where would you like to eat? Doesn't matter to me. You pick. And then, well, I say, well, it doesn't matter to me. You pick. Okay, now y'all know how this game works. It goes back and forth about three or four times, and then we as men, we're impulsive, okay, and we're hungry, and so we decide that, you know what, we're not going to go anywhere. We got the kids all ready for this dinner. We got to go eat somewhere, so I'm going to pick a spot since it doesn't matter to her. And we say, how about here? And she says, no, I don't want to go there. Yes, guys. They need us to read their minds. They expect it, okay? But we've all got goals and plans and ways and thoughts. But I want to tell you this, as we read in this passage of Scripture this morning, God has ways, thoughts, plans, and goals for your life. And while He loves all of us, collectively, He loves you individually, okay? And maybe you came in here today and you don't feel loved and you don't feel special. This is just the introduction to my sermon, but I want to hit you with this point this morning. God has ways and thoughts and plans and goals for your life individually. You are special to Him. He loves you. And He has them specifically for you. Not everybody's life is the same. And so He's got different plans for every single one of us. So I hope you feel loved and you feel special this morning that God loves you and He's got thoughts and plans for your life. But let's talk about our thoughts and our ways for just a moment. There's one thing that always comes up when it comes to our ways and our thoughts, and here is it. It always comes back to us and on us and for our glory. You see, when we begin to think about our ways, how we want something done, and we begin to think. Now listen, some of you teenagers in here, yes, you still think. Contrary to what your parents may think, okay, you think, okay? We all have thoughts, okay? We all have plans, and we all have goals. But when you are in control of every single one of those, and you take control of it, and you're solely focused upon it, everything works out to your benefit and to your good and for this grand scheme picture that you want for your life. It's all about you. But God says he's got thoughts and he's got ways. But let's stay focused on ours for just a minute. I think the biggest problem that the world has with Christianity is the fact that we submit to God's authority on his ways and thoughts for our life. You see, y'all live in a world today where it tells you this: get everything you want for yourself, do what you want to do, do whatever makes you happy, go find inner peace, whatever you want to do, whatever makes you happy, you go and do it. And you go out and you do your ways and you do your thoughts. But here's the world's problem. You see, when it comes to Christianity, God says this, that when you accept me into your heart, your ways, your thoughts, your plans, your goals are pushed off to the side, and now it's my plan, my thoughts, my ways for your life. The world has a big problem with that. You see, there's other world religions that people follow, and they still, while they serve a God, it's still their good works, it's their good deeds that help them get to an eternal home one day. Whereas the Christianity that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is completely different. I'm not basing my eternal security on anything that I've ever done, and I'm so thankful for that because there's no way I could ever do enough. I'm basing my eternal security and my home in heaven on the fact that Jesus Christ loved me so much that he would come and robe himself in flesh and that he would die on a cross. Not only would he die for me, but he would get up for me and he would ascend into heaven, and one day he's coming back for me. And I believe that, and I've asked Jesus to come into my heart. So since I have done that, I'm going to heaven one day when I die, not because of anything I've done, because of everything that he's done and going to do in my life. The world has a huge problem with that. They want their get out of hell free card. Nobody wants to go to hell when they die, but they sit there and say, "Oh, well, I don't want to make him Lord of my life. I want him to be Savior." But they have a big problem with the Lordship. I want to tell you this today, church. He's both. He's Lord and he's Savior. He is over your life, and he's got ways and thoughts for you. But I also want you to know today this: there's nothing wrong with having thoughts and having ways and having goals and having plans. You see, we all have them, okay? And they're good things to do, all right? You adults that you work, okay, every single day, you have goals and plans for your work day that you set out, things that you want to get accomplished, okay? They motivate you. They keep you going. You students, okay, you have goals, you have plans, okay, you have thoughts, you have ways that you're setting out for maybe a future career or something that you're doing, okay? I'm a baseball coach at this time in my year. I coach a lot of things, but right now it's baseball, okay? So my little 6U baseball team, guess what? At the beginning of the year, I had plans, okay? I've got goals for them to achieve, thoughts and ways of how we can better achieve those goals. There's nothing wrong with having those. They motivate you, okay? They give you passion. They give you zeal. You should set goals for your life, okay? You should have thoughts and ways of how you're going to do things, okay? But hear this: always submit to God's ways. And always use your goals as a way to keep you accountable. They do. When we set our goals, when we get in our thoughts and our ways, others can help hold us accountable by saying, "Hey, you're fulfilling that. you're getting the job done," or, "Hey, you're falling short." They're not all bad things, okay? I want to get that to you this morning. But now you're probably wondering about that puzzle piece that you're holding in your hand, okay? If you didn't get one, there'll be more up here at the end of the service today. But I want you to think about your life, okay, your ways, your thoughts, your plans, your goals as puzzle pieces. Everything poured into one, trying to get this perfect picture of how everything is supposed to go. It can be a little bit overwhelming, but all those pieces are there. Today, if I could entitle this sermon anything, I would entitle it Pieces. And I want to dive into the scriptures and make 3 points today about God's ways and thoughts being better than ours and what we need to do with the pieces. My first point is this: Our thoughts and ways are not God's. We find that in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Do you want to know why our ways are not God's ways and our thoughts are not God's thoughts? It's because we are fleshly people and we're carnally minded. Okay? We have a fallen nature. I like what John Gill wrote when he did his exposition of this passage of Scripture. He said that our ways and thoughts have holes in them and they fail. God's ways and thoughts are pure, holy. They're complete. God's never failed on his thoughts and ways, and he never will fail on his thoughts and ways. We fail every single day, don't we? Some of y'all have already failed this morning. Did your morning go as planned this morning when you're getting ready for church? Okay, yeah. We fail, okay? We slip up. We make mistakes. Our thoughts and our ways, while they may be okay for just a little bit, it will not be very long until they do fail us. Because we're fleshly, carnally minded people. We get off track. We make mistakes. Not only are we fleshly and carnal minded people, we also can put our thoughts and our ways before God. That's why our thoughts and ways are not God's ways. I can't tell you how many times that I have seen people put their goals, their ambitions, their plans, their ways and their thoughts above God. And it almost become the God that they serve. They work their whole life to have this everything picture perfect the way the world would want them to have it. And they forget that there's a God who's sitting up on the throne who's got plans and ways and thoughts for their life. And they miss it because they're so honed in on everything that they're doing. Teenagers, you do it. Adults, we do it. You see people who get so honed in that they forget that God's ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Actually, that brings me to point two. God's ways and thoughts are higher than ours. Now you say, preacher, what do you mean God's ways and his thoughts are higher than mine? Here's what I want to depict it to you. They are better for us. God's ways and his thoughts are better for us. He's got your best interest at heart in everything that he does. And so you can take peace and comfort in that today, that he has your best interest at heart. And not only just for you, but for the people that you surround yourself with. You know what I found out really quick in my marriage and becoming a father? That the decisions and the thoughts that I had did not solely affect me when I made those decisions. It affected my wife. It affected my kids. It affected the people that I surrounded myself with. And so if I was honed in on myself and constantly focusing on everything for personal gain, it affected those around me by either by me neglecting them or causing them some pain. God's ways, they're even better for those that are around us. God's ways and thoughts are higher. Why? I'll tell you why. I don't know what it is about this week, but and Hudson, I guess he's got this in-tune thing with God, because Hudson did not know what I was preaching this week, but he's been putting puzzles together all week long. And so I got one of their puzzles and got some puzzle pieces here. Let me pour these out. And here's what I want these puzzle pieces to depict, trying to hone in on the fact that God's ways are higher than our ways. I want you to think about these pieces, okay? These are parts of your life, okay? Let's just name a few off. Maybe for a teenager, where am I going to go to college? Who am I going to marry? What kind of job am I going to have one day? For an adult, am I going to stay in the profession I'm in, or am I going to change it? What's my purpose in my life? Maybe for a married couple, are we going to have a family? When are we going to have a family? We could go on and on and on about those pieces, okay? Now, if I were to call one of you up here today and I were to say, okay, I want you to put this puzzle together. It may take you some time, wouldn't it? Just jumbled up pieces, okay? They all fit. They're all going to work together. But it would take you some time. No, I'm not going to call you up here to do it, okay? I could have picked one of my students to come up here and do it, but I'm not, okay? You say, well, how's God's ways higher than our ways? I'm so glad you asked. Because you see, here's what I learned when I was a child about puzzles. They're easy to put together when you got the box sitting right in front of you. You see, when you see what the picture's supposed to look like, it's a lot easier to put that puzzle together. I want to tell you this today. If you've been sitting there struggling, trying to put the pieces of your life together and trying to get everything to fit and go exactly the way it's supposed to, it's not going to work because you don't see the big picture. But there's an all-knowing God who's sitting up in heaven. He's never made a mistake. He knows all things. He's got the perfect purpose for your life. He knows exactly where everything's going to fit, and he's going to put it all together. You've got to trust him with it because he sees the big picture. That's why his thoughts are higher than ours, because he sees the end result and he sees everything that's going to take to get to that point. We don't. And we get frustrated. We get mad. And we ask a lot of questions. But his ways are always higher than our ways because he sees the full picture. And he can put everything together. My last thing this morning, talking about why don't we give God the pieces? If it sounds so simple and it sounds so good, why don't we give God the pieces? Two things today and we'll be done. Number one is this: we don't like the outcome. Oh yeah. You see, God specializes in getting you out of your comfort zone. He loves to do that with people. And when you put the pieces in God's hands, here's what God's saying: I'm going to mold you and make you, and I want to make this picture the way I want it. Not exactly how you want it. Not exactly how you pictured it. But this puzzle is going to go together for my glory and for the outcome that I've destined for it to be. We sit there and we drag our heels and we kick and scream when God pulls us out of our comfort zone and he pushes us to a place that we don't like, and we don't like the outcome. And so we say, no, I want the pieces. I can make it fit better. I can put this together better. Just give me the pieces because I'm not liking the outcome that I'm going to right now. For me personally in my life, one of the scariest things I've ever had done was be called to preach. And I was so ignorant, he had to call me twice. And I was scared both times. And then I get into the ministry, and God says, I want you to be a youth minister. And I said, no, not teenagers. No. I said, they come with so much drama and baggage and all this stuff. No, not teenagers. But then God gave me a passion. God gave me a love. And he gave me a zeal for teenagers. And now, do you know what I tell people? That I don't know where God's going to call me. I do not know where God's going to leave me. But I believe this: I will be involved with teenagers for the rest of my ministry. Because I love teenagers. I love seeing them get the gospel. I love seeing them grow in Christ. At first, I didn't like the outcome. But the past 5 years have been a blast. I love students, and I love preaching the gospel, but we don't like the outcome. The second thing is this, and some of y'all don't squirm too much in your seat when I say this. The reason we don't give God the pieces, we don't like God's timing. Yeah. You see, we live in a world that says, I want it now. Yeah. We live... and you want it now. If you want it in 2 days, order it on Amazon Prime. If you want it now, pay over prices and go to the store and get it. But I want it now. And sadly, we treat God like the genie on Aladdin, and we rub the side of the lamp and we say, you give me my 3 wishes now. I want what I want now. I want to tell you this, Christian. If you've been battling with this, don't let the devil trip you up in a lie that God's not answering your prayers. I'm here to tell you this. God answers every single prayer you pray. He says yes, no, and not right now. That's the three things that he says. Yes, no, and not right now. And we don't like that answer of not right now. It bothers us. It bothers my kids when I tell them that. She just stepped out. It bothers my wife. It bothers me, for crying out loud. I don't like it. We don't like the not right now. And we don't understand why we have to go through the storms of this life and why things are not happening the way I want them to happen. But God's sitting there saying, I've got perfect timing. Hey, everything else about him is perfect. His timing's perfect too, okay? And he's sitting there saying, I haven't lost your pieces, okay? I haven't put the puzzle together wrong. I'm just waiting for the perfect time to get these pieces to go together. How many of you ever had that happen in your life and you sit back and you say, oh, I learned something. There's been times in my life that God's put the pieces together and I said, I don't know why he waited, but I'm looking for the future and I can't wait to find out why God put them together when he did. But we just don't like God's timing sometimes. And so we get frustrated. We get impatient, don't we? We take those pieces and we say, I know best for my life. I'm going to put them together. Then we make a mess out of it, don't we? The puzzle doesn't even look the way that God had intended it to look. You got to trust the Lord in his timing. As we go into a time of invitation today, I want to challenge you with this. Who has the pieces of your life? Are you trying to put this puzzle together? Are you trying to go by the world standards and have the perfect puzzle life? Are you failing? Time to give God the pieces. Did you come in here today and you're struggling with God's timing? Or maybe you're struggling with God's outcome for this puzzle? Because right now you just don't like it. You're very impatient. You're very frustrated. And you feel hurt. All of you have those puzzle pieces there with you. If you don't, I'm going to lay these up here. You feel free if the Lord leads you to come get one. But here's what I want you to do this morning. We're going to have a song played. I want you to be obedient to God. In this bin, I've got a bunch of Crayola markers, Sharpies, and pens. I'm going to put it right here on the table. My challenge to you is this. The pieces of your life, come up here and write them down on that puzzle piece. The things you're struggling with, the things you're not liking the weight on, the things you don't understand, come write them down on that puzzle piece. I want you to pray over them. I want you to give them to God. Then I want you to take that puzzle piece with the things you write down on it. And I want you to go home and I want you to throw it away. I want you to keep it. So the very next time that you're tempted to try to take the pieces out of God's hands and put your life together the way you want it, you can look at that and you can say, you know what, I've already given this to God and I'm not going to take it out of his hands. I'm going to let God be in control of all the pieces. He truly is the God of all of our days. This invitation time is his. I encourage you just be obedient to what God tells you to do. The guys are going to play the song. You be obedient.